Michael Hope. She'll give another perspective from New York City. She is a research scientist with the New York City Bureau of Immunization. She's a data analyst for the Citywide Immunization Registry and the New York City Vaccines for Children program. She received her Bachelor of Science degree from the University of Richmond and her MPH in Epidemiology from the University of Michigan. So, welcome.
Good afternoon. Today I'll be presenting using an immunization information system to assess immunization coverage, the New York City experience. First, I'll give a background on the Citywide Immunization Registry and the New York City Vaccine for Children's programs. Then I'll discuss how we've been able to integrate the two programs and describe how that integration has allowed us to more effectively perform immunization coverage assessment and carry out various provider feedback activities, including provider report cards, assessment feedback incentive and exchange, AFIX evaluation, and I'll speak about our Immunization Improvement Spread Project, also known as ISP. The Citywide Immunization Registry, the CIR, is the immunization information system for New York City. It was implemented in 1997. Currently, New York City has mandatory reporting of vaccinations for children from birth through age 18 up to age 19. When the registry started in 1997, the reporting mandate was from birth up to age 8. The mandate was expanded in 2005 to include children and adolescents through age 18 up to 19. Currently, there are over 3.6 million records with over 38 million immunizations in the registry, and greater than 80% of pediatric providers in New York City participate in the CIR. The CIR is population-based. We have birth certificates loaded weekly, and our annual birth cohort is approximately 125,000 children. The New York City Vaccines for Children program is a federal program that provides free vaccine to eligible children, children on Medicaid, uninsured children, or Native American Alaskan Native children. If a child's insurance does not cover vaccination, they can go to a federally qualified health center or a DOH clinic to receive free VFC vaccine. The New York State program includes children covered by the New York State Child Health Insurance Program, SCHIP, and approximately 67% of New York City children are VFC eligible. To show you the size of our program, in 2008, over 3.4 million vaccine doses were distributed to hospitals, clinics, and private practices. In September 2006, the Bureau of Immunization shifted to a CIR-generated VFC Doses Administered Report, a DAR. Previously, providers had to account for vaccine using paper forms, but now all providers have to do is report their immunizations to the CIR, and their accountability is taken care of. Additionally, providers' vaccine orders are adjusted based on that CIR DAR. If a provider reports less than 80% of their VFC doses, their vaccine order is reduced. This CIR-VFC integration resulted in improved vaccine accountability, a large increase in reporting to the CIR, and more complete data in CIR. These enhancements allowed the Bureau to increase the use of CIR in immunization coverage assessment, with the overarching goal of the Bureau to increase our national immunization survey coverage. The NIS estimate currently for New York City is around 75.2%, and we want that to be much higher. So first, let's define what we mean by up-to-date. Traditionally, we look at the 24 to 35-month-old cohort for the 431-331 vaccine series, and that corresponds with 4 DTaP, 3 polio, 1 MMR, 3 Hep B, 3 Hib, 1 varicella. Okay? And the three ways the Bureau provides feedback to providers about their CIR coverage is through provider report cards, AFIX evaluations using CIR, and our Immunization Improvement Spread Project. Provider report cards are sent to all providers in New York City on a quarterly basis. AFIX evaluation using a CIR is performed for a proportion of the providers in New York City, and this evaluation is done by a provider quality assurance unit in conjunction with traditional chart review. Our IFS program provides detailed coverage assessment and intervention strategies for program participants. CIR-based coverage rates and interventions are followed on a long-term basis. Visually, you can see how these three projects work together. All providers receive report cards quarterly, while some providers receive an AFIX evaluation using CIR data, and some providers participate in our ISP program. And there are times when AFIX and ISP overlap, with these providers receiving all three services. I'd like to begin by talking about the provider report cards. The provider report card gives providers immunization-related feedback about their practices. Again, it's mailed quarterly. It contains VFC accountability information, AFIX coverage rates for 24 to 35-month-old children, CIR coverage rates for the same cohort, and CIR influenza coverage rates for 6 to 59-month-old children. Here's an example of what the report card looks like. In area one, we can see the provider's CIR generated up-to-date percents for their 24 to 35-month-old children. Each review date is listed, so a provider can track their improvement over time. This provider's up-to-date percent increased from 42% to 50%. In area two, has the AFIX assessment information if a provider has received an AFIX evaluation in the last 2 years. Area three is the accountability area. A provider can track how well they're accounting for their VFC vaccines here. The report periods are listed as well, and a provider can track their progress. So this provider's DAR increased from 91% to 98%. And our newest feature is in area four. We give providers their CIR-generated influenza up-to-date percent for the 6 to 59-month-old children in the practice. And this will give providers a sense of how well they're protecting the most vulnerable population against influenza. All the targets for each section are listed on the right. After a provider receives the report card, they're encouraged to call to obtain a list of children that are not up to date for medical chart comparison, patient recalls, and CIR data entry. Providers are encouraged to review their reporting methods, discontinue paper reporting, and work on improving their electronic and online reporting. Now, this graph tracks the CIR-generated up-to-date percent for all New York City providers since we've started mailing report cards. The blue line tracks the up-to-date percent, and it corresponds to the right axis. The bars represent our denominators, and they correspond to the left axis. For denominators, we looked at the number of children with an immunization in CIR on or after 1 year of age. We can see over time that the CIR coverage has increased from 34% to almost 50%. We're not sure if this is all due to just an increase in reporting or some actual increase in vaccination as well. And this increase still occurs even as our denominator numbers increase. Also, if you look at the last few review dates, we can see that the coverage has remained somewhat stagnant, and we've been able to link that to our HIB shortage. Unfortunately, the CIR-generated coverage is still below our NIS estimate of 75%, and we hope to continue to see an increase in the future. So the provider report cards has allowed us to see an increase in CIR coverage rates from 34% to 49%, and it has increased our regular communication between all providers and the New York City Bureau of Immunization. Next, I'll discuss performing AFIX evaluations using the CIR. Now, why use CIR for AFIX? It's less time and resource consuming, fewer site visits are needed, and there's no need for manual chart abstraction and review. It's less disruptive to providers' practices, and it will enable the assessment of providers who were never assessed previously. And it also helps increase CIR immunization coverage. So the steps, the first step, assessment, we run coverage based on CIR data. We generate a list of children that are not up to date and identify specific issues at the practice. Part of the feedback is communicating this information to providers. Our incentive includes providing a list of patients to be recalled to the provider. And we explain the relationship between reporting to the CIR, the DAR, and order vaccine order reductions. We also recommend web-based immunization resources and give additional compliance information to providers. We may also refer providers to our IFS program to help in improving immunization practices. In 2008, we had a total of 435 total assessments. 247 assessments were through chart review. 188 assessments were through CIR. And most of these sites had never received a site visit previously due to the small practice size. In terms of follow-up, 64 sites were followed up through traditional site visits and chart review, and 117 were followed up through CIR. In this graph, we can see how CIR-based evaluations have been able to help us increase the number of assessments performed. The green bars are traditional chart review assessments. The red portions are CIR-based assessments. You can see that there has been a dramatic increase in assessments beginning in 2007, and in 2008, we were able to perform over 430 assessments. Now let's look at the 117 facilities that received an assessment based on CIR data, as well as follow-up. When we looked at the sites on the date of assessment, the aggregate up-to-date percent was 49%. After follow-up, the aggregate up-to-date percent increased to 58%. And we have to remember that most of these sites haven't had an assessment previously due to the small practice size, but we did see an increase. Now, when we look at the sites that received traditional chart review evaluations, we can see that these sites started out higher with an aggregate up-to-date percent of 71%, and after follow-up, this was increased to 88%. So in summary, using CIR has led to an increase in the number of APHIS assessments. Using CIR for assessments has led to an increase from 49% to 58% up-to-date coverage for those children reassessed in 2008. Assessment by chart review led to an up-to-date coverage increase from 71% to 88% for those children reassessed, which is a larger increase than was seen in the CIR assessment. But this difference in improvement may be due to the fact that the sites that had CIR assessment had never been previously looked at. The last part of my discussion will be the Immunization Improvement Spread Project. The goal of ISP is improving New York City childhood immunization rates and delivery systems via individualized intensive work. It was piloted in the fall of 2004 and implemented in mid-2005. The measurement tool, of course, is the CIR. Recruitment is rolling and includes referrals from other bureau units and self-referral. And it also has a steering committee that provides input on ISP procedures and reporting methodology. The first part of the ISP methodology is identifying a champion at the facility, the person that's going to take responsibility for the reports and manage all intervention strategies. We perform a site visit, and then quarterly coverage reports are sent to the site. The coverage reports include 24 to 35 month old coverage, 7 to 9 month old coverage, lists of children not up to date, and number of children with common immunization pitfalls, whether it be interval problems or use of vaccines. The site also receives a provider reporting profile of recent CIR reporting and the DAR information. The IFS site visit is basically an evaluation of best practices. How does the facility report to the CIR? Are there computers available on site? Is there a CIR demo necessary? Does the site have a recall reminder system? Are immunization schedules posted? Does the office-based record reviews occur? Are there any false contraindications to immunization? Does the provider have immunization-only visits? Is the immunization champion we identified really the champion of that site? And are parental educational materials available? Now let's look at some improvement for their practices. If we look at the 142 facilities that had 24 to 35 month old coverage reports for at least two separate birth cohorts, at least a year apart, we can see that in quarter one, the aggregate up-to-date percent was 32%. Now when we look at quarter five, which is a totally different birth cohort, that up-to-date aggregate up-to-date percent has increased to 48%. When we look at the 69 facilities that had 24 to 35 month old coverage reports for three separate cohorts, we can see in quarter one, the aggregate up-to-date percent was 39%. Quarter five, that increased to 54%. And by quarter nine, the aggregate up-to-date percent is 62%. So we can see that there has definitely been improvements in the CIR-based coverage for these sites, even when looking at totally different birth cohorts. We've recently begun looking at ways to compare the ISP and non-ISP providers. For this slide, we looked at the up-to-date percent for ISP and non-ISP sites. ISP sites have the blue dots. Non-ISP sites are in pink. All of the 240 ISP sites are removed from the non-ISP numbers. And for the ISP line, we included ISP providers who received reports within 3 months prior to the last day of the month. And the non-ISP numbers were calculated on the last day of the month. From this comparison, we can see that ISP providers consistently have a higher aggregate up-to-date percent when compared to non-ISP sites. So in summary, ISP has been able to provide tailored outreach to help facilities improve immunization coverage and or CIR reporting. ISP providers' aggregate immunization coverage continues to improve over time. And by our estimates, ISP providers' coverage is higher than non-ISP providers. There are some limitations of conducting up-to-date coverage assessments through the CIR. We currently don't have a field to identify children who have moved or gone elsewhere, our MOGI children. They often encounter duplicate records, and there's an extra step needed to merge those duplicates. CIR records, just like any registry, may not be complete. You may not have the total story here. And an increase in up-to-date percent may be due to an increase in reporting to CIR and not just due to an increase in vaccination. CIR immunization coverage is still lower than our NIS coverage. So we have some work to do. The next steps, the first thing we're going to do is facilitate the process of CIR assessments. We're adding a MOGI field to the CIR, and we're expanding our deduplication system in the CIR. We'll also increase the number of immunization assessments through the CIR and chart review. We'll conduct CIR assessments among adolescent populations and perform further analysis to examine if our percent up-to-date increases are due to increased reporting versus increased vaccination. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. What questions do you have for Melissa? You know, using IISs or registries for assessments is not actually that uncommon. There are quite a few grantees states that do it, but these are two fairly well advanced registries, and there's a lot of good lessons here. What questions do you have for them?
Hi, I'm Cody Prince with the Texas Department of State Health Services. I'm the VFC APIC consultant there. And I had a couple of questions for Stephanie. Are 100% of your VFC providers using the MICR?
What percentage?
Yes, I mean, are 100% of your VFC providers using that?
Yes.
And do you
go ahead.
I'm sorry, and do you make that a requirement of the providers to enroll in the VFC that they have to use the MICR system?
Yes.
Okay. And then my second part of questions I have is in regards to your 6 month follow-up. do you see a significant increase in the rate by doing a 6 month follow-up using the MICR system when they really haven't had a whole lot of time to make a practice-based change for whatever deficiency was keeping their rate down. Do you go in and do an actual pull at 6 months and look at the records that they've done since the date of the first visit that you were there, or are you just doing a repeat pull from MCHR?
What we're doing is we're running a complete set of AFIX reports, mm-hmm. and the focus isn't on the numbers, mm-hmm. it's on the behaviors. So we call up the practice or make a personal visit and ask them what they've done since the last site visit.
Okay.
To improve or to not improve, do they need additional resources or information or maybe some nurse education module for their staff? We're not focusing on the numbers at 6 months, we're focusing on behaviors. Some of the numbers from the AFIX reports will help indicate that, and I'm not talking about coverage level numbers, but like numbers of invalid doses may decrease, numbers of missed opportunities for simultaneous administration may decrease, but we're really wanting to facilitate communication on how they're doing with those two recommendations that were made at the site visit.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Ryan Vogelsang from Cleveland. The question is actually for both of you, and this is from the private provider side. How are you identifying the provider for the patients that are in the registry? When my practice does our own in-house review of vaccination coverage rates, it would be a considerably lower number if I had to include all the kids that have left the practice and gone elsewhere. I can typically see, you know, all of a sudden I go from 75 to 98 when I just address the kids that are going, and that seems to be unfair for your providers in this situation.
We actually use the provider that the child received the last immunization from. So that's what we use. It's not perfect, of course, but that's the best method that we've.
I love this question when providers give it to me at an office. We also, in Michigan, the last person that entered immunization data into the registry for that child or for that person belongs to that provider site. When we give them a list of children who have not had an immunization dose date entered into the registry within the last 12 months, the most common response is, they're not my patients, they're moved or gone elsewhere. What we usually do, we'll pull a few charts, whether it's 5 charts, 10 charts, it depends on how many kids are on that haven't seen in more than 12 months list. And we'll look through them, when was the last visit? And usually we get about half of those that really are moved or gone elsewhere. But what we also do is we raise awareness of those that really are still their patients, they just haven't immunized them, or they haven't entered that immunization data into the registry.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Jennifer from the Arizona Immunization Program, and my question is for Stephanie. Stephanie, are your providers in Michigan required to report historical data to the registry?
It's not legislated that they record prior immunizations, although it's highly encouraged, recommended, and that's how they're trained. So when we teach our providers how to enter data, we teach them how to enter all the data.
And when you provide them with feedback, or when the local health department staff provide the provider sites with the AFIX feedback, do they include lists of children who are missing immunization?
They do. When we train our local health department reviewers for site visits, we encourage them to include no more than 3 of the pages from the AFIX reports. And we encourage that at least one of those be some type of list, whether it be the list of missed opportunities, the list of invalid doses, or the list of kids not up to date.
I have one other question that's a follow-up to that. How is it addressed or managed at the feedback if the provider then starts talking about how all of these children have those immunizations that are listed on the missing immunizations report?
I want to repeat it and make sure I heard it correctly. How do we address the comments from the provider or their staff when they have children on the list that need immunizations and the provider staff responds that they've already received those immunizations?
Right, and they can provide, so if the registry does not reflect all of these immunizations because perhaps there was historical data that wasn't reported, Okay. Or there's a glitch in the link between the billing system and the register, however, and they provide, you know, documentation at the time of the feedback session that these children are immunized.
That's really a great opportunity for us to train the provider, and we encourage them, leave those charts out because you've already found it, that those doses really were received by the child, that now we need to get those entered into the registry. So let's do that. Either we offer some type of resource, whether it's our state AFIC staff, whether it's local or regional MICR people, we'll get those dose dates in. And we like to try to train them and help them. And then at the end of that, rerun those AFIX reports to see how much of an immediate effect it has on coverage levels, as well as minimizing those other barriers that we thought were there.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Lisa Morgan from Philadelphia. I guess my question is somewhat similar. We use our registry for our AFIX assessments as well. But do either, I guess in New York, you kind of, Stephanie kind of already answered this, but do you allow, give providers an opportunity to, I guess, fill in the missing immunizations that are missing in your registry prior to providing them with the coverage rate?
Once we find the deficiency, they are instructed to update the information in the registry, and then they'll receive a follow-up report again with all the missing information added, and we'll definitely probably see an increase in that up-to-date coverage.
Yeah, in Philadelphia, we provide a missing immunization list from COPASA prior to the visit, and we update everything before we go out and then have everything updated in the registry before we provide the coverage levels. So I was just curious on how you guys dealt with that. Thanks.
Go ahead.
I'm Alice Dubon from Putnam County, which is in New York State, which probably not everybody knows that New York City has a completely separate health department from New York State, so we're very early into the registry process. Almost all of our providers in my county do not participate in the registry, and we have to go and call them. And I have not really gotten any training on doing the post-visit where I'm presenting the results, and I was wondering if Michigan, the forms that you have, that would look really good, you know, the things that you would focus on when you went back to the two things, is that accessible to us through the internet?
It's not available right now through the internet, but I see you have a copy of the handout. You can email me a request, and as long as I have approval from my director, I think it will be fine.